Welcome to More Than Words, a podcast about treating the whole child, brought to you by the Reading and Language Learning Center. I'm your host, Tristan, and today I'm joined by AAC specialist Samantha Crooks to discuss AAC in the classroom. Hi, Sam, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm awesome. We're excited to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. I miss being around the practice.
Oh, yes. For all the listeners, Sam used to work here at RLLC with us, and we had a wonderful time with her. And now she's working for, well, I'll let her introduce herself. So how about you tell us what you now do and where you are?
Yeah. So I'm a speech language pathologist and AAC specialist in the Washington, D.C. area. I primarily work in our Capitol Hill location, but I have licenses and have worked around Virginia and Maryland as well. So I have a background in working with kids with complex communication disorders in the non-public special education school setting. And I recently made a transition to private practice about 2 years ago. So I'm currently the clinical lead for AAC services at National Therapy Center. So that's a private practice with locations all around the DMV. So I work extensively with, you know, treatment for kids with complex communication disorders. And then I made that transition because I wanted to do more evaluations and really help families, you know, figure out what's best to help their child and actually go through the funding process and all that kind of tricky stuff to actually obtain AAC for their children. So that's what I'm doing now.
Oh, wow. How cool. I think that's something people don't know goes on behind the scenes. So that's a really cool thing to be doing.
Yeah, it's quite complex, the process.
I'm sure. And so you said AAC services, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where can you find, what's the website if people were going to like find you guys online?
Yeah, so just go to nationaltherapycenter.com. We also have an Instagram and a Facebook page and recently a TikTok.
Oh, wow. Very exciting. Yeah,
there's all sorts of content.
All right. I'll make sure to put links to all of that in the show notes so people can find you guys. All right. Let's hop into AAC. We should get like a good basis so that people that maybe don't know what AAC is know what we're talking about. So yeah. Could you just start with like, what does AAC stand for?
Yeah. So we use that acronym all the time, but most people probably don't know what it means. So AAC stands for Augmentative Alternative Communication. So it essentially means all communicating aside from verbal speech or talking. And I know Dr. Davies went over this in your previous podcast, but there's a huge range of AAC. So it can be low tech, things like paper-based things you can print, picture cards, all the way up to high tech. So eye gaze systems, iPads with apps, all sorts of things. So there's a range of AAC options. It's very broad.
Yeah, it sounds like it because you go from, you know, the physical piece of paper to all the way up to like an iPad or a computer, some kind of technology.
Yeah, exactly.
So how would you determine if a child would benefit from having some sort of AAC device?
Yeah. So when we think about communication, obviously it's a two-way street. So there's the person being able to communicate, and then there is the communication partner being able to actually receive the message. And so usually I'll look if there's any breakdown in that communication. So if the child isn't able to actually communicate, or if they can communicate, but not in a way that gets the message to the communication partner. So maybe they can communicate, but they have a really difficult time articulating their words and their messages really aren't getting across. That's still a breakdown in communication. So if I see a child not able to functionally communicate for a variety of purposes, so if they can't ask for what they want, tell people what they need, if they can't, you know, get people's attention by saying, hey, mom, or look, you know, if they can't answer questions or ask questions, engage socially, all those things, if there's a breakdown in those communicative functions, we start thinking about things that are going to, you know, augment or help support their communication. So just, you know, in the classroom, if we see a kiddo who's not able to do those things, get their messages across, that's when we usually want to, you know, right away think about what kind of AAC can support their communication.
Yeah. So what changes do you then see once you start implementing those AAC devices in the classroom?
Yeah. And so, yeah, they go hand in hand. So usually if I go into a classroom and we might see kids who are doing a lot of things to get their messages across if they can't actually functionally communicate. So they might be, you know, have developed maladaptive behaviors to get their message across. They might be, you know, becoming really frustrated, visibly frustrated that they're not able to communicate, you know, with their teacher or their peers, or you might see that they're not very engaged in the classroom. And all of those things happen when kids, you know, can't functionally communicate. We see all of that. And then, you know, then we come in and we see what AAC is going to support them best. And, you know, it makes a world of difference. It's hard to even like quantify the changes that we see. But once you get AAC that fits the kids' need, it really empowers them and it empowers their communication partners. So you can see increase in, you know, social behavior when communication partners know that the student they're speaking to can actually respond. They're more engagement, you know, asking them, the student, more questions, you know, having them participate socially. We can see a huge reduction in negative behaviors because they're now able to communicate actually in a functional way that doesn't involve those behaviors they might have developed. And so, yeah, a lot of times in school, it really looks like an increased participation in the classroom, developing more social relationships with peers, and just becoming more active participants in the classroom environment. So that's usually what we see, and that's what we want to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like all around, it just makes everyone's life feel more comfortable, should I say, or like to be able to communicate effectively is kind of like a privilege that people who don't have to use AAC take advantage of. So it sounds like it helps everyone out, to just put it simply. So that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I think teachers can be overwhelmed and staff can be overwhelmed by it, which is why, you know, it's really helpful to have all these resources about AAC because, you know, it helps the kids so much. It can be overwhelming to the staff, but once everyone's kind of bought into it, really great things can happen.
That's awesome. So you mentioned earlier some device options. So like, I think we talked about like paper all the way up to iPads, but what's normally best for like elementary, middle, high, or is it just different depending on like the child's needs?
Yeah, you know, that's a difficult question because we don't usually think about AAC in terms of age or education level.
Yeah.
So when we evaluate kids, when I evaluate kids, we go through what's called like a feature matching process. And so we look at all the skills that the kiddo has, and we look at all of the features of the AAC that we're considering, you know, okay, whether it's a paper-based option or an iPad or something in between. There's a million options. And we match features. And once we kind of determine what are going to be some of the best options, that's how we decide what to get for the kiddo. So in general, and this is really important for everyone to hear, but from what we know in AAC, there's no criteria to using AAC. So including age, like you're not too young to use any type of AAC.
Right.
So that's really great. And so an example, actually I was just thinking of, I evaluated last week, a 3-year-old girl. She's quite young. She's, you know, preschool age, and she wasn't able to communicate at all, just using gestures and facial expressions, but no verbal communication. Mm-hmm. And then we had, you know, I started just presenting to some different options, and she immediately gravitated towards the iPad-based communication device. It had, you know, 60 pictures on it. So it was, you know, pretty complex device. Yeah. And she's already communicating, you know, a week later independently to ask for things. And she's three. So yeah, it kind of shows that when you walk into a school, it doesn't matter the age, you're just going to see a huge range based on the kids' strengths and what they need.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. So it's not necessarily age-based, or it's not really age-based at all. That's very interesting.
Yeah, no criteria, right? No cognitive criteria, no nothing.
Right.
Every kid, there's always something that we can use to help a kid communicate.
That's cool. So in terms of the caregivers and teachers and everyone that's involved in the child's life, do you have to train them to use their specific AAC device that they have now acquired?
Yes. Yeah. Short answer is yes. Like I mentioned, a lot of times I've had reports of school staff feeling overwhelmed. They could, you know, in one classroom with complex communicators, they might see 3, 4, 5 different types of AAC. And we know that being a good communication partner to students with AAC is very important for the students' growth in communication. So, so we do like to spend lots of time making sure that caregivers and teachers feel really comfortable with the AAC. They usually, you know, there's certain programs. There's one that actually that I just was participating in. There's some good research-based programs now about training teachers and training caregivers. And a lot of it takes, you know, some direct instruction, but a lot of it is just SLPs helping to coach the teachers and in the classroom, in the real context of what's happening in the classroom, and making sure that the staff or the teachers have actual access to the kids' AAC or a copy of it so that they can practice, because it really does take practice. A lot of them, like I said, they can all look different, very different from each other. So yeah, it's really important that the teachers and staff get exposure to it, and then they start learning these evidence-based strategies to helping and students, you know, grow in their communication and being a good communication partner.
Right.
And we know more and more that that's an extremely important piece of the puzzle for students, you know, to grow in their communication.
Yeah. Okay. So how long, I'm sure this is a hard question, but how long does it normally take for the caregiver or the teacher to learn the child's AAC device?
It can take a while, depending on how much time you're willing to spend with it. So for example, the training I'm talking about, you know, the total of just the work together with the SLP is about 8.5 hours of just direct teaching and then practice and coaching. But then it might be, you know, 6 months of working with the kid and doing that practice and implementing everything before a staff member feels really comfortable.
Right.
Of course, it depends on the time you're willing to put into it as well. But yeah, I would say, you know, up to 6 months to a year. It's kind of like AAC is kind of like learning a new language.
Okay.
So when you kind of like learning Spanish, and how long it's going to take to totally learn the new vocabulary and the location of the words, and create also the muscle memory, the motor plan for where the words are. So if you think about it that way, it can take quite some time and practice.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Good to know. I don't think people, I'm surprised to hear that. So I don't think everyone else would have known that, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have any stories from your experience on the success of a child using AAC in the classroom, or you could talk about like private practice, whatever you want to.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually contract with the school. So I see a couple of school kiddos still. They're actually high school age, but one of them I was thinking about, because I got brought in to work with some of like the complex communicators at that school. And one of the students, I started working with him about 1.5 years ago, and he had just recently received an AAC device with a popular app called Lamp Words for Life. It was recommended from his school assistive technology team, but his staff weren't super familiar with it. His teachers weren't really familiar with it. And when I first started seeing him, he didn't really have any way, aside from a couple of signs, to communicate independently. Mm-hmm. He was very prompt dependent. He wasn't communicating to ask for things. He wasn't even able to talk about the things that he really loved, talk about his teachers, talk about his peers. So he really wasn't using it at all. And so for that student in particular, and this kind of gets back to having staff being able to learn, having it not be overwhelming. We started with like a core word approach. And so we did kind of a word of the week on his device where we chose like a really high frequency word that gets us, you know, good bang for our buck, a word that comes up all the time throughout the day. So I think we started with go. And then we did all sorts of activities working on go and having him practice, and we highlighted it so the staff could also see the word, what the word of the week was, and they didn't have to focus on, you know, learning the whole thing, but they got to focus on one word and then, you know, some associated vocabulary, like maybe vehicles vocabulary or something. So we kind of took that approach, and he has just made so much growth. And a big part of that reason is because his staff totally bought in, and they are amazing. And they model on his device. They show him where things are. They talk to him on it. So now I just actually saw him earlier today. And when we log on, he says, "Hello, Miss Sam." And he's just very independent. He asked his favorite TV show is The Wiggles. So we asked to, says, "I want to watch The Wiggles." And we talk about dancing, and he's just really independent, and I know exactly what he wants all the time, and it's great. And he's just made so much progress. And then I'll talk to his teacher, and now he's participating in the classroom. He's answering questions. He's able to kind of go through his schedule with everyone, and he knows what's happening in his day, and he can tell people. So we kind of went from like 0 to 100, and it's been an amazing thing. And that's just one example.
Wow, that is so wonderful. It must just feel like a beautiful thing to be able to help people get their words across and just communicate with the people that they want to.
Yeah, it is really great. I think that's why I love this area of our field, because we get to, you know, help kids get a voice when they didn't have one before. And it can be, it's, you know, talking is very powerful.
Yeah.
So it's always great to help kids get that and realize that power.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. So this is my last question for you, but I think it's interesting. Have you found any ways to incorporate AAC into teaching like early literacy skills in the classroom?
Yeah. So this question I've actually become increasingly interested in, especially because I worked with RLLC for quite some time and learned a ton from them about just best practice and helping kids develop literacy skills.
Yeah.
And that got me interested in kind of pursuing more professional development and how we can, you know, help kids who do have communication disorders or can't verbally speak, and helping them be literate or gain some of these literacy skills. And so I think it's also a growing area of research in the field. Yeah. So in general, literacy skills are extremely important to all students. And what we know is that good literacy education is important for everyone. So even if you have a complex communicator in your, they should be in the classroom getting that same literacy instruction. So we need to make sure that students who are complex communicators aren't left out of that really good, high quality literacy instruction that goes through, you know, phonemic awareness and phonics and does all of those activities that are evidence-based that help typically developing learners. So that's one thing, just getting increased exposure to those things that are already happening in the classroom. The great things for reading intervention that are already happening, making sure that our more complex kiddos are still exposed. And there's some really good work kind of coming out that I'm familiar with from Dr. Karen Erickson. She's at UNC. She has a bunch of free resources for teachers and special educators, and therapists who work with complex communicators. And she's got some really good information about providing literacy instruction and the importance of our kiddos who can't verbally communicate still getting that same instruction and doing things, you know, things that don't even have to incorporate AAC devices, like shared reading and pointing out letters in the environment that the student's in, or you know, just talking about letters and sounds and how the letters and sounds go together, and allowing students to, you know, interact with letters and sounds, like playing with, you know, magnet letters, or just getting that exposure. And that doesn't even involve AAC. Yeah. And then some ways that I've incorporated AAC into literacy skills. So now we're adding in the device. Many of the AAC apps on the iPad or dedicated systems actually have phonics pages that will say all the sounds in the English language. So then they can participate in like a phonics lesson that way. So they don't have to be left out of that kind of thing. Or students can use their AAC device to read along in a story. You know, if you're doing shared reading and I read a sentence, and then the student can use their AAC to actually follow along left to right in the text and read the sentence. Or using, you know, most devices also have spelling pages to match letters to sounds. So, you know, sometimes if a student can't read a word in a story, I'll have them spell it in their device, and then they can listen to it to hear what the word is. There's lots of different ways to get the device involved. And there's also a lot of ways to work on literacy skills without the device at all. So I think in general, it's just really important that kids with disabilities are still exposed to that same high quality literacy instruction in school.
Wow. That's really cool. And I don't think I realized that, you know, you work on it without the device and with the device. That's a really cool thing to think about. And you said Dr. Karen Erickson, is that MNC with that research?
Mm-hmm. She's doing great work.
Yeah. If you want to send that over, I'll put it in the show notes too. And people can read a little bit about that if they're interested.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. This was awesome. And I know we had Dr. Davies on, but it was amazing to get the experience in the classroom and to hear a different perspective on AAC. And this was super, super helpful. I know our parents will really appreciate it.
Good. I'm glad.
Well, thank you to the audience for listening. Don't forget to leave us a little rating and a review and subscribe so you know when we release new episodes. Have a great rest of your day.